Senator Ted Stevens, honorable and decent public servant, or a man who thought he was above the law and got caught? Jurors in Stevens' trial heard two very different versions of the 84-year-old lawmaker today during attorneys' closing arguments. Both sides called this a simple case, but pushed jurors to reach opposite outcomes. APRN's Libby Casey is covering the Stevens trial and joins us from Washington this evening. Hi, Libby.
Good evening, Lori.
Libby, first of all, would you please describe the scene and how the day unfolded for jurors?
Well, this was a chance for the lawyers to speak directly to the jury. So they faced them at a podium, and that was really their audience. The closing arguments lasted all day. It started with the prosecution, and then it was the defense's turn to try to prove that the government had not made its case and that Stevens is innocent. Then at the end of the day, the prosecution got the final word for about an hour. So it lasted pretty much from 9:30 in the morning until 4:30 in the afternoon, and I'm sure jurors went home with a lot to think about.
What did the prosecution start with?
They began with Stevens' association with Bill Allen. They said Stevens had a good friend in Allen. He knew he was wealthy, generous, would help him, and would give him hundreds of thousands of dollars in free benefits. The prosecutor said Stevens knew his other friends in Alaska, who've been mentioned in this case, were trusted and loyal and would cover up for him. Prosecutor Joseph Bettini said the price is always right when it's free. And he described this as a simple case about an elected official who received gifts and concealed facts. And he just systematically went through the alleged gifts and tried to tear down Stevens' own logic. And Bettini kept repeating the word nonsense. It was nonsense that Stevens' friends would go out and buy him expensive things like a grill, toolbox, a fish sculpture. But then Stevens says, well, they aren't really mine. These items are just at my house. Bettini said nonsense. Also that a massage chair doesn't really belong to Stevens. It's just a loan. And then Bettini pointed out a $3,000 stained glass window that Stevens says was really a gift for his wife is still a problem because Stevens is supposed to declare gifts that are given to his spouse on these financial forms as well. Towards the close of his arguments, Bettini played a tape of Stevens for jurors, and this is a wiretapped phone call made in 2006 between Stevens and Bill Allen when the investigation of Allen was breaking. Jurors heard this earlier in the trial, and Bettini used it again as a reminder. Here's what they heard.
You got to just stand back and say, what's going to happen when it's all over? You got to get a mental attitude that these guys can't really hurt us. You know, they're not going to shoot us. It's not at Iraq. So what the hell? Worst can happen to us is we run a bunch of legal fees and might lose, and we might have to pay a fine, might have to serve a little time in jail. I hope to Christ it never gets to that, but I don't think it will. But I mean, I'm developing the attitude that I don't think I did anything wrong, so I'm going to go right through my life and keep doing what I think is right.
Bettini said that didn't sound like someone who hadn't done anything wrong.
Libby, how did Stevens' lawyer fight back against that?
Well, on a couple fronts. First of all, attorney Brendan Sullivan said that tape actually shows Stevens is innocent. He doesn't talk about renovating his house for free. He doesn't talk about gifts or hiding things. He's just trying to comfort a friend. Now, one thing to remember, Lori, is that Stevens even says in this tape that they're probably being recorded, so he was probably careful about what he actually said. Otherwise, though, Brendan Sullivan tried to show the absurdity of these charges, saying that after 70-some years of abiding the law and serving the public good, the government claims that Stevens masterminded this big conspiracy. Sullivan said the government was guilty of looking at life through a filthy, dirty glass, and so seeing the whole world dirty. He also kept talking about the government being guilty of sick thoughts. So he was really trying to get the point across to jurors that this is just sort of crazy. Sullivan focused on a letter specifically that Stevens wrote to Bill Allen in 2002 asking for an invoice. And in this letter, he says, friendship is one thing, but compliance with the ethics rules is entirely different. The jurors probably have this letter memorized, and it's amazing to see how both sides are using it and coming up with entirely different interpretations. Sullivan says it's an honest attempt to get a bill. And he really cast Bill Allen in an ugly light, calling him a liar who's only trying to say what the government wants so he'll get a lighter sentence. He said Allen was a real problem for the Stevens couple because he kept doing things for them they didn't want. Bottom line, Sullivan said, Ted Stevens is a simple guy, and this is a simple story. He wanted a home where his grandkids could visit and spend time, and Bill Allen was the one out of control.
Did Senator Stevens' lawyer mention the character witnesses who testified for him?
Absolutely. He reminded them that Colin Powell and senators from both major parties have vouched for him. Remember, Colin Powell said Stevens is the kind of guy you want to take on a long patrol because you trust him so much. And they said Stevens' reputation is sterling. Sullivan kept trying to plant seeds of doubt in jurors' minds, even saying, you know, you don't want to look back on this in a week and think, I trusted Bill Allen over Colin Powell. He kept reminding them they need to feel the government has proven their case beyond a reasonable doubt. And he wrapped up by urging jurors to do what's right.
And Libby, how did the prosecution drive their points home in that final presentation?
Well, Brenda Morris is a lot more intense and bold than the prosecution's prior speaker, and she started with, wow, were we at the same trial? And showed that she has a different take on this. And she said no one is above the law and that Stevens is blaming everyone but himself, blaming Bill Allen, blaming his wife, blaming friends who were working on the Girdwood house. She tried to relate to jurors, telling them, you know, you can't tell the phone company I didn't get the bill. Catch me next month. She said notable character witnesses like Colin Powell don't know the private Ted Stevens. They aren't driving by his Girdwood home and noticing, you know, oh, look, he's had work done on his house. So this was something he was hiding, doing behind the scenes. Ultimately, Brenda Morris told jurors to stand up to Stevens, and in her words, few people have done that. She said they should look past his, quote, growling and snappy comebacks and righteous indignation and see that he's just a man who needs to take responsibility. So both sides laid it on thick for the jurors, who I'm sure have a lot to think about tonight.
APRN's Libby Casey is covering the Stevens trial and joined us from Washington, D.C. Jury deliberation will begin in the case tomorrow.